listening to Zeroes on Heroes with Mike Mercadal and Will Watkins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, heroes. Welcome to Zeroes on Heroes. Just trying to look like you. Hey, Will, looking good.
Now, hey, Michelangelo. I dig your style, bro.
Positive compliments all around. My name is Mike Mercadal. With me, as always, is...
Will Watkins.
William A. Watkins on all social medias. Thank you, everybody, who has been liking and sharing the stuff online and on the Instagram, the little short stories. We're trying to use all the tools we have available to share the good vibes of just trying to look like you. Just trying to have positivity in the health and fitness space of which we've been thrust into against our will our whole lives. And, you know, use it to our advantage. Why not feel good about it? Will, we focus on body, mind, and community / relationships. I wish there was a better word, a singular word we could use for that. Have you done anything in the last 2 weeks, because we missed a week, to help boost those in your life?
Ooh. Well, I am addicted to the gym, so I go there.
You go there.
I also have weekly therapy sessions, so I do that. And I also binge eat high calorie foods with my wife. So that's community.
Okay.
We get everything.
We are so similar. I do not go to the gym every day, but I did indulge in high calorie snacks. My wife and I have been off the rails. But it was like for the best reasons, you know, like it's crazy how your brain has been manipulated to think of food as like a reward system for like when something good happens in your life, comfort when something bad happens in your life. It's like the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world they didn't exist.
The greatest
trick the food industry ever pulled was convincing us that sugar is not a drug. It is fucking drugs.
Food is like such a weird thing in our society where we feel it's a reward, but it's one of the only times we get rewarded, but then we feel guilty about the reward. Where it's like
such a weird mindfuck about it. No, like that feels weird.
That's like one of the things I'm like more proud of than like any sort of like physical change I've had, where it's like I no longer, where like if I enjoy, like I just had a very delicious sandwich from an Italian sandwich shop. And I wasn't like, oh, there's so many carbs in this, I'm gonna have to work it off tomorrow. It's like, no, I enjoyed that. That was good. And I will not feel guilty about this. Yesterday, right, I had both pizza and fried chicken, and I don't regret it. It was delicious. I enjoyed the pizza. I enjoyed the fried chicken. And I am very happy.
Do you feel like your lifestyle choices, because of the fitness, allows you that mental break, like the mind, body, and support structure of community relationships in your life? Feel like the whole point is to balance all that shit out, right? Like that's kind of the point.
You know what? It's also I did notice this, which is I made a commitment to myself that it's okay to eat high calorie foods as long as they are high quality high calorie foods, where it's like, yeah, for instance, I love my favorite cookie in the world is Levain Bakery. And
oh, the holy that's a hell of a choice for
like
favorite
a
cookie.
Freshly baked 1000 calorie Levain Bakery cookie where you crack it open and the chocolate's like telephone wiring, you know?
Yes, the stretch, the pull.
Yeah.
It's like a cheese. What is it? What is it? A cheese
like
pull
a goofy
called
movie
when it's chocolate?
Pizza.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I decided if I'm ever going to eat cookies, if I ever am like, oh, I want to eat some cookies, or somebody offers me like Chips Ahoy cookie, I'll say, I'm not going to eat this entire sleeve of Oreos. I'm going to save it so I can have a 1,000 calorie Levain Bakery cookie. And in the process, by choosing to have that 1,000 calorie Levain Bakery cookie, I'm not going to eat 3,000 calories of subpar
shitty
chocolate
cookie.
Chip.
Yes, yes.
Mass manufactured bullshit.
Right.
And I'll enjoy the cookie while I'm eating it, and I'll say this is fantastic, and I can even work it into my my diet program or whatever it is. And
I
quality
totally
over quantity.
Quality over quantity. So I subscribe to the the slow carb diet, the Tim Ferriss thing. Not necessarily because of the specific restrictions it forces on you or anything like that, but because of the, like, because every diet is just calorie, restrictions in some way, restricting calories, right? Like,
yeah.
Is in some way making sure you eat less than you burn. That's it. So the concept of a cheat day is kind of like the linchpin of that diet for me, because it does make you save. Like, I work in healthcare and notorious for the pizza parties to show approval rather than money. And I work night shift, right? So I work at night. So there's when everyone's willpower is the weakest.
Yeah.
So
your body's craving the carbs to fuel the little energy that you have.
It's like I've set myself up for like the gauntlet, like the worst possible setup. Like, it's like, no, I wanted to prove myself. I wanted to give myself the most difficult circumstances in which to stick to a diet. What? How do we not see this? That I'm torturing myself for some reason that is deep and psychological.
You're like disproving the whole whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's like whatever doesn't kill you kills you slower.
Yeah,
it's just slowly killing you instead of right away.
I don't know if you know this, but medically, if something doesn't kill you, it fucks you up for like a long time. Maybe it, like, forever.
You get hit by a semi-truck and just like, oh no, I'm stronger now. I'm so much stronger because it didn't kill me.
I'm not. That's how the human body works. No matter what, I've built up a tolerance to cement trucks, and now when I get hit by a cement truck in the future, it's going to affect me. We'll say less.
Yeah, I'm immune to blunt force trauma now.
I'm immune to, but I gotta tell you, it's so specific that it's only immune to the grill of a Peterbilt and not an International Harvester. That's from my trucker friends out there. Super specific. Side note, we have somebody in the comments. Ladies and gentlemen, Hilda from the Woobro podcast and my friend, Tabletop Gamer Girl. Go follow her. She does lots of really cool board game stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, she's great. Thank you for dropping in. We're just talking about the positive aspects of difficult situations when it comes to dieting right now. And one of the reasons why it was on my top of my mind at the beginning of the podcast was my wife and I have both been sick for this podcast, we had one. I was in Mexico. I came back, we had one. But I got sick right after it. Now, I did not get sick in Mexico, which is like a bonus. I did not get explosive diarrhea or whatever, which great. Huge win, huge, huge bonus. But I also ate like shit on that trip. Then when I came back, I got sick. And when you get sick, you want stuff. You want things, right? And then so I was pretty good. We were trying. We were doing it. Then my wife got sick. And all you want to do is comfort each other. You want to indulge each other in like whatever's going to make you feel good. And the easiest thing to get is like, like earlier this week, I was like, no, I just want shitty pizza. I want garbage. I want mass-produced garbage pizza. What you were talking about earlier, of like, I'll save the calories for the Levain Bakery cookie. I was like, I need garbage in me now. You know, like,
What'd you get?
Yes, motherfucking Domino's. It is my favorite one of the garbage pizzas. We both lived in New York a long time. You're currently there. I lived there for almost 10 years. We know what good New York style pizza tastes like. I know what good Chicago deep dish tastes like. I know what good Detroit pizza tastes like. Domino's is not any of those three, but it is my favorite. And we ate garbage pizza. And then I struggled because I was like, you know what? We were due for a cheat day anyway, but because I didn't plan it, it was hard for me to dismount from cheat day thinking.
Yeah.
And then I was like, still in that mode. My wife was feeling sick. So anytime she'd say, oh, I want something to eat, and neither one of us wanted to cook or anything like that, the temptation gets even worse. We had food prepared. I have some amazing chili that I made. We have chicken. We've made like a bunch of really good things, but we want comfort things.
Yeah.
Which usually, because of our 80s and 90s upbringing, is garbage. It's so crazy how much of it is like, is like, oh, you know what I was desperate for, and I haven't had since I moved from New York, just a honey bun in the microwave from the bodega. It is an 800 calorie piece of garbage, but I crave it daily and nightly.
That's very similar to like when Little Debbie's comes out with the Christmas tree snack cakes, and I'm like, well, you know, it's the holidays.
It's the holidays.
Yeah, it's interesting how like psychology comes into like whatever your personal diet is, because right. some people do great with intermittent fasting, and I can't because I'm not gonna. My body wants food,
yeah.
and I'm not going to tell my body not to have that food because I get the hangry and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you said, like you do great with cheat days, but like myself, if I had one cheat day, psychologically, I would just fall the fuck off.
Really?
I mean, I still catch myself doing it. So like
I now,
so like the which is like the most proven quote unquote diet you can go on, which is the 80-20, where it's like as long as 80% of your calories come from healthy foods. 20% you can have fun stuff. And if you want to restrict it before, you can go to 90-10 if you're like on a cut or whatever it is.
Right. 80-20 is the balance, and this isn't really like a metric that you're following exactly. This is a guideline that you have for yourself. Or
yeah,
is it like do you literally count 20% of calories? Like you think, do you count calories?
I don't count calories, mainly because I took math class in Florida, and I do not like math. But I go on mostly is just like whenever I have a meal, I go around whatever the protein is, so I can say like, all right, this much chicken equates to 30 grams of protein,
right.
and then I can say, all right. Now, what are, you know, I'll go for the whatever leafy greens or cruciferous vegetables next, and then after that, I'll go to the sweet potato or regular potato or whatever it is, or rice, whatever it is.
Right.
So I just like kind of like because they redesigned like the food the pyramid. Everybody, it went from like the
bullshit.
Pyramid, and then they found out, you know, that was all, you know, dark money from all the sugar company and stuff, and then they were like, well, it's actually more like this and. And then they found out it was more dark money from the wheat industry and the corn industry. And so the current one is the most accurate. Isn't a pyramid. Now they call it the plate, where it's
I was just going to say.
And it's like you cut it into thirds, and it's like this is the carbs, this is the protein, this is the veggies. That's what you're supposed to have. And occasionally you can have a treat, which is like accurate.
But it's like
to your question, it's like I know. What is everybody knows what is good food to eat,
right.
and everybody knows what is bad food to eat. So it's like you're not going to convince yourself that, like, well, I'm eating French fries or I'm eating sugar snaps.
All right, here's my thing about cheeseburgers. All right, don't you fucking tell me that just because it's assembled in that way that it's bad for you. If I have lean beef. You know what I mean? A lean beef patty. That's a protein bomb, right? Like that is a literal protein bomb. With vegetables, onions, tomatoes, lettuce, microgreens, green sprouts, whatever the fuck you want to put on your burger, you can put it. On top of two buns, you know, maybe a little ketchup, a little mayo, a little mustard. What a pickle, whatever you want. It's literally a perfectly balanced meal, and I will die on this hill that cheeseburgers get a bad rap.
Oh yeah, it's a cheeseburgers are one of my favorite post-workout meals because it's
perfect.
The thing that's wrong with a cheeseburger and eating cheeseburger isn't the cheeseburger, it's the french fries and soda that comes with it, because everybody's like, well, if you get a cheeseburger, I might as well, you know, go to Five Guys and they go, oh, I'll get a small fry, and they dump the entire thing in the brown bag, and it's like and it's like, all right, you want this milkshake with it too? All right, I'll get the milkshake.
Yeah, I'll get the
milkshake. It's everything aside from the actual cheeseburger is the real bad stuff. But like you said, if you want to go, like, you know, I have no problem with beef and stuff like that, you know. But if you want to go healthy, you know, get the turkey burger or whatever. It's
whatever it is. I don't think it's a bad thing. I also think that if it's almost better to get a second burger than the fries and the shake and all that stuff. That was my mentality for a long time. I'm like, I'd rather just get another sandwich.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather just eat too. And people are like, oh, you're so gross. And meanwhile, they're like jamming like French fries in their mouth. And I'm like, you don't know math. You don't have, this is wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah.
I will forever die in support of burgers, tacos, anything that involves that mix of protein and veggies without a carb, like a giant plate of carb, like big plate of rice and whatever. I don't know. Hilda says, my zero control food is ice cream. to the point that we can't keep it in the house, so it forces us to go out when we crave it. Genius idea, brilliant idea. Rid your home of the evil, you know, have an exorcism, get all of that out of your house so that when you do crave it, if it's like a little craving, you're like, eh, whatever. But if it's a big craving, you're like, I'm willing to put my shoes, my pants on, my shoes on, burn gas, and go to get the treat.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea. And, you know, because even if you like, oh, you know, I'm just going to get the pint. And it's like, no, you probably eat more with the pint than you would if you just got like a gallon Bluebell or whatever it is. Like,
and serve the bowl.
Finish the pint.
Yeah,
The two scoops. So it's, yeah, I agree with the go out of the house, get the ice cream.
I also don't think you respect me enough to think that I won't finish a whole half gallon. You know what I mean? Like, who are you fucking with here? What are we doing? It's like you don't even know me.
Man, yesterday we went to Van Leeuwen ice cream. Oh, the super fancy
pants,
like Murray Hill type people go to that, and it's like it was like the worst two employees I've ever had, where I started to turn into a Republican, where I was like, these guys don't deserve minimum wage. Like,
do these people deserve a living wage? No, they're being lazy to me.
Like, I was like, let me get the dulce de leche with the brownie, and then they gave me like butter pecan, and I didn't realize it until too late, and I was like, that's it, I'm voting red. It's like, how do you screw up ice cream?
That's like one, like barista was the like metric for like Republican workers being like, you shouldn't be making $20 an hour as a barista. And then there was always that argument of like, I think it was like Brandon Lee Mulligan or whatever said, oh, do you think that they shouldn't, that coffee shops shouldn't exist?
Yeah.
And then it's like, no. So they should get, you know, it's like, but do you think they should be respected and have a living wage? No. Okay. So you're a bad person. Like, you're bad. You're not good. So like, as soon as you get a little bit of bad service, you're like, oh, am I a bad person?
Maybe they secretly don't want coffee shops to exist, because the complaint from that side is always, you know, they don't deserve that. The employees don't deserve to get paid enough. And then it's also like, oh, millennials are spending too much money on coffee. They could just make coffee at home. It's like, all right, so you guys just don't like coffee shops.
What if that's their big...
Yeah, it's like, that's their secret agenda. They're like Illuminati behind the scenes. Yeah.
What they don't want to tell you is that Big T is behind all of it. The tea companies, Lipton. Lipton is out there assassinating baristas. That's what it is. These lurking, Lipton people.
Lurking in the shadows has been the East India Trading Company. They've gone silent for 300 years, but they're back.
I love that. Hilda says, yeah, exactly. Is putting pants, real pants on, worth it? That a fair question. Is pants... Look, that's just a question we're asking here today on Just Trying to Look Like You. Is pants worth it? Some people say no, and I agree with them. I think shorts is the way to go. Pajamas, always. Current fashion trends dictate that also. Yeah, pajama pants is like the mode now.
I know I'm going to sound like the guy yelling at the cloud, get off my lawn guy, but one of the things I hate about like gym culture now is the Gen Z types who wear pajamas in the gym. And it's tough, purely a fashion choice, because there's no way that this is like, because it's such soft cotton, it's going to absorb whatever you sweat. So it's going to stick to your body and feel uncomfortable. And it, when you start to do more mobility exercises, because the sweat is sticking to you, it's going to restrict your movement. So it's just a trend. There's no reason for it.
There's no reason for it. Let's get into the gym side of Just Trying to Look Like You. When you're at the gym, my concern is recently I was talking with one of my coworkers. He's big into, he's doing some gear. He's been doing it for a while. He had a medical, you know, he's what they call hypogonadal, all these things, but he's pretty open about taking testosterone. But he's in the gym and he says that I only had my Crocs to work out in. And I was like, oh, that feels just from a danger perspective. Yeah. He's like, I'm a gym rat. He goes all the time, all stuff. And he was like, I went and I worked out in my Crocs. And I was like, I don't think I would. That feels super dangerous, though, like, it's not like sneakers would protect me anymore. Right?
Yeah, that is a big trend too that I don't agree with, is the Crocs. And it's like, hey man, you want to feel comfortable there, you know, especially if it's like it's not a closed Croc. You know, some have the little strap you can put on your heel, whatever, but when it's like a...
They go sport mode, four-wheel drive, yeah.
Like, it's just a clunky flip-flop, basically, where it's like, yeah, it's... Because it's also, if you're going to do, like, lifts, where like heavy lifts, like a deadlift or a squat or something, you want your sole of your foot down to the floor as much as possible to give you the most stability so you don't roll an ankle, and you can also have more leg drive. Even when you're doing, like, bench press, you still need leg drive. And if your foot is like sliding inside of whatever kind of shoe you have, that's bad. So the idea of like a Croc is like beyond me.
It feels like squishy. Like, it feels like trying to do, you know, like those ball. What did you call them? Those like half dome little.
The Bosu balls.
The Bosu balls. When people are doing stuff on that, I'm like, are you really that? Do you have that much faith in your ankles?
Yeah.
That you can do this? I feel like Crocs are just like walking on. Especially if you're doing lifts, like, I feel like you lose power and all that stuff. Now the question is it better at that point just to go barefoot? Have you ever seen people working out barefoot?
Yeah, barefoot and socks or whatever it is. Like, especially people doing like deadlifts. I see people kick off your shoes all the time just so they can get that firm as little cushioning between your foot and the ground as much as possible. So people do lifts and socks all the time. I've done it once or twice when I brought the wrong shoes. But you know, because I had like, you know, I think I wore like running shoes instead of like a flat sole shoe, so it's like, all right, I gotta take these off because otherwise, you know, it's not gonna be as much power. I'm not gonna I might injure my ankle, so I'll do that.
How close are you to getting the finger toe shoes? I just want to see what we're talking about, man. I just want to know what to get you for Christmas.
How
close are we to these finger toe shoes?
I also have very, how do you say it? Fucked up feet. Where it's like, if I get wide with shoes, it's wide on the right side, but it's not wide on the left side. I have a very weird foot. So the idea of... I'm worried my toes wouldn't fit inside each individual toe thing.
Interesting.
You're
worried the nubbins are going to get squished at the end, or too tight, you'll get some circulation issues.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. All right. I believe they ran their course like those for running when people were like, oh, those shoes actually hurt your feet more than bent. And then they started coming out with these things that you like glue to the bottom of your foot. And I was like, what do you guys just wear shoes? Just like, you know, like just wear a wide toe box shoe.
Yeah.
In the hiking community, like the backpacking community, which I'm not a member of, but I got obsessed with during COVID. I got obsessed with backpacking and through hiking, like Appalachian Trail and Pacific Crest Trail hiking. And I would watch all these people and like, I was going to do it. You ever go to those YouTube holes where you're just like you decided to become a completely new person through YouTube and your YouTube algorithm is now fucked up where they're like, yeah, he's clearly an avid outdoorsman. And I was like, I'm just watching. I'm just, you know, fixated on the freedom of getting out of the city. But one of the things that everybody does is a popular trend is to hike in hiking sandals that keep your toes open.
What?
You're going uphill or downhill, your toes smash into the front of the shoe and you can get like where your toenails bruise and rip off in the shoe. So what they do is they just have open, like they hike in like Tevas with a little bit better arch support, and they will go and like hike through the entire Appalachian Trail with, maybe not in the winter, but like with sandals.
Like the opposite of a steel-toed shoe where it's just like a convertible hiking boot?
Just like it pops off. Like it just through your toes. Or I just got to get some air on these dogs, you know what I'm saying?
Are they like those kind of sandals that like German tourists wear? Like is it
yes,
like...
Yes, yes. Oh. They are. I want to find... let me see if I can find something I can share.
Do you think our ancestors are looking back like some ancient Roman centurion is like... We haven't progressed past this yet.
I don't think we need to, man. I'm telling you, there's a certain amount of like, I went to the Getty with my wife yesterday, talking about enriching our minds. We were, you know, this is part of the celebration of like, we're good. We're like, good things are happening. And we're, you know, we're coming out of a funk. We're coming out of some negative energies and we're feeling better. We're like more willing to explore things. And we just out of the blue, we're like, let's go to the Getty. And, there was like a whole section on like furniture, like these Louis the 14th furniture pieces that are like beautiful pieces of art. There's all this stuff. And then there was like this, like you look at some of the clothing in the paintings and you realize like, oh man, those like big box skirts that they used to wear, that those like, that they're like, you've ever seen the Nutcracker where the all the little kids come out of the woman? You know what I'm talking about?
Where all the, you're talking about Johnny Cake Plus Eight?
Yes, I'm talking about Octomom. I'm talking about Octomom. No, it's the big, you know, and it's literally just trying to look more rich than the next person, where it's like, oh, their dress is 3 feet wide. Mine is 4 feet wide. You're just like, wait, why is it wide? who needs this? And it's like, all of it is just trying to, so modern like humans are trying to like unlearn behavior of like old rich Europeans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's what feels like a lot of culture is just like forgetting what European colonialists did to humanity. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like at a certain point, like the shoes you're wearing they're functional. They were functional. Boots were absolutely necessary. And covering your feet is absolutely necessary. Shoes are super important. But a lot of like the style of it has like deformed humanity's feet for however long, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. So I don't know. Like, do we really need more than sandals day to day? Maybe, but you know, that's not a for sure thing. Sandals are still, ask any German tourist in South Florida.
I'm talking about German tourists in New York in the dead of winter.
Hold on. Right. So we have.
Oh, wow.
Let's do it this way. No, that doesn't work. Let's do without us. Yeah, they're just like hiking sandals. Like they just kind of, these are like, I guess, like all terrain. They're like better.
Oh, man. All terrain sandals. Is that the, like the Nazarene Force Ones?
Yeah. The Bethlehem pumps. They got a little. They you just go like, and the straps get a little tighter.
Those are the Jeezys.
Oh my god! I can no longer continue this podcast. The Jeezys. I will say, maybe that's the new workout trend. Where like, if something falls on your foot, you just lose the toes. That's the what doesn't kill you. Makes you stronger.
that's a good callback. That was good.
In the gym. Well, speaking of Gen Z, like in the gym, have you noticed what the younger guys, like and girls, are like? There's like kind of this epidemic of, like cameras, especially in the gyms, pointing out people's workout. Either people are filming themselves doing basically like OnlyFans content,
mm-hmm.
or there's like the swing of like people mocking other people in the gym. Have you come across that yet?
Yeah, I mean, you see it. It's 99% of the time it is people who are under the age of 25 who do that. Yeah. It's funny because like filming yourself in the gym is not a new thing. But it was always like, you see a guy with a tripod and he sets it up so that it can film him doing his squat. And then he might go look at the video as soon as he's done with that squat. And he'll go like, oh, my hips dipped too much or my back wasn't straight or whatever it is. And then he can fix it for the next set.
Or it's for science.
For science and just for personal improvement or whatever it is. But now it is the... you have to wait to walk past them because they're filming a thing they're going to post online. It's like all posting online stuff or they're live streaming or whatever it is. Right. And even if it's like they're filming it to put online, it is that thing of like, if you're in the background, like if you look pretty at the gym, you're not working out correctly. So like, I'm never looking good at the gym. And it's like, I don't want me at my ugliest broadcast online.
Yeah, that had, I didn't think about that in terms of like your appearance being something you like. I didn't think of it as a vanity thing. I thought of it, it just feel like an invasion of, what if you're in witness protection?
Yeah.
And the way that the mafia finds you is because they were thirst scrolling on fucking Instagram and they see you in the background and they're like, hey, there's a guy that snitched on little Polly. And then there, and then now you have to deal with it. And it's like, what brought you down? What was the fault? What caused your demise? And it was some booty model on Instagram filming you in the gym.
Yeah,
it happens all the time, you guys. It's the it's a tale as old as time, and I'm sick of it.
There is also, I mean, Joey Swole on Instagram does this a lot, where it's like there'll be some woman who says, "Look at this guy creeping at me, staring at me while I'm working out," and then it's just some dude just working out, like, and yeah. he glances over as you would glance at anything in a gym, and it's like, because there, the problem with that is that there are absolutely legitimate cases where dudes are creeping on women in the gym, and it is atrocious, and I think you should call it out every time. But when you, but when something like that happens, it's almost like the boy who cried wolf,
yeah,
where it's like you're diminishing the validity of the actual instances, where it's like nobody's going to take it seriously anymore, nobody's going to report it to the gym manager, this guy was creeping out or whatever it is. And it's like, you know, if you just, you know, it's also sad, pathetic that you're just trying to use somebody else for your own Instagram
to clout. Boost your own, yeah, for clout. You know, that's really the thing that bothers me. Have you heard of the empty internet theory?
Ooh, no, what's that?
So I'm going somewhere with this. The empty internet theory is this thing that basically says that somewhere around 2014, more content was generated by artificial sources than genuine users. Mm-hmm. And it's just been trending separately, where pretty much all of the internet is like artificial content, and very, very little of it is produced genuinely, right? Like what you're being fed, it, like TikTok kind of changed that a little bit, they're saying, but then the artificial sources locked into TikTok and started creating content there. So basically what it is it's either like repurposing someone else's content, like the Fat Jewish. Remember the Fat Jewish and,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Fuck Jerry and those sites that were basically got in trouble because they were just making millions of dollars aggregating other people's content without crediting them. Stuff like that. And so now whenever people are posting, there's like humanity has switched over to posting to get engagement, not to share content, because then it becomes this thing of like monetary gain. So those girls, if they're like, and I, you know, I hate to say, I've not seen a man do this. So I'm speaking, I'm not making a generalization. I'm talking about my personal experience. The women I've seen do this are, I believe, just doing it so that people can then go out and say, hey, what are you talking about? Boom, 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 boom. Now a whole bunch of people are engaged. There's no positive or negative anymore. It's just engagement. There's no good or bad. And then what ends up happening is that they won. They got all the engagement that they wanted. You know, they get yelled at, they get whatever. All of a sudden, there's a bunch of people out there who think that she's right. And there's a bunch of people out there that thinks that she's wrong. But every one of them is commenting and posting and talking about it. So it's like, how do you engage in that world? You kind of have to know that it is. It's like a new type of media literacy. Where, like, when there's slavery in a movie and the people are like, oh, this movie's pro-slavery. It's like, he didn't actively say that slavery was bad. And it's like, I think the point of the movie was that slavery was bad. If you think about it big picture, it's like, yeah, but he didn't say it. It's like, we are in a dangerous place.
Yeah.
We are in a weird place where, like, it's like, oh, this person's just doing it for engagement. Well, you engaged, you know, you gave her what she wanted. Like, what's the easiest way to find the right answer on the internet is to post the incorrect answer as the correct answer. And you'll get everyone in the comments going, no, you dummy. Hey, you fucking idiot. And then you're like, thank you. You know, like that's kind of what it feels like. And it feels like so much content now is created kind of in this pocket of disingenuous posting, like just engagement farming. And I feel like people are doing it now almost like without knowing that's the point. They're like,
yeah. Huh. I think it's also a very fascinating generational thing because it goes along with this. I don't know if the concept of the self-actualizing surveillance state, where it's no longer that the government is spying on us, but we are spying on ourselves.
Right.
Because it used to be like, oh, you know, Big Brother has those cameras installed at all the light posts, but it's the cameras are in the phones. And whenever you film yourself at the gym, you're filming the people behind you. And the, you know, the idea of like having your own anonymity is out the window now. We're just filming each other without even realizing we're filming each other. And nobody is not in the system anymore.
Yeah, like, you can't exclude yourself from it. I will say this. I'd like to take this moment in the show to say that we don't know what the fuck we're talking about, and we're operating purely on vibes.
Oh, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about because I was on Reddit, and they said...
I did my own research, which was just Googling one website that confirmed my biased beliefs, and I know that for sure, for a fact, my opinion is the reality. You know, like
I was on X, which is not called Twitter, and a user named @EagleJizz69 said that...
all of you still calling it Twitter, you're dead naming Twitter. How does that feel? How the turntables? We don't know what the... This is just a vibes show. We are just two dummies talking about improving our lives. And honestly, I think it should be noted that we are doing this on the internet. My camera is pointed right at me. Your camera is pointed right at you. It's going through the internet. It could be part of a surveillance state. We don't know. But these are the lengths we're going to make feel better about what we're doing in the world, yeah. You know? And
I think the thing is we are choosing to do this.
Yes.
But if you're at the gym and someone is filming, there are old people at my gym and they still have flip phones and they don't know anything about augmented reality or AI or digital face scanning or whatever it is. And they just... they're there to make sure that they can live to see their great granddaughter be born. And they don't want to be in the system.
I will say, you mentioned we've been talking since the last episode and we talk about like, well, what are we going to talk about today? And you said something about the gym, like being, it was a quote. Who was it today? It's more about sanity than vanity. Was it you that I was talking to about that?
No, I think you did because in the notes it was like from Mario Lopez, and I was like,
it was Nary. Oh. Nary Science. If you go check out the What's Up Bro podcast, I'm on that one as well with my friend Nary Science. But it's it was because we were talking about this podcast, and we were talking about how like physical fitness can lead to mental well being in like anything if it doesn't become an addiction.
Yeah,
and then he pulled this quote out by Mario Lopez, who I will say is fully able to make commentary about fitness and looking good and doing things. Yeah. That dude still looks like AC fucking Slater from Saved by the Bell. He is still incredibly fit. He's whatever he's doing. I don't care. You know, like I'm not one of these people that's anti-steroid or thinks it's cheating or I'm not one of those people. Whatever you need to do to make yourself feel and look how you want, as long as it doesn't become to the point of an addiction, whatever.
Yeah. I don't think Mario Lopez juices or...
I don't think so either.
And he doesn't look like he takes TRT or anything, so...
Yeah, he just looks incredibly fit. And his quote is, it's more... going to the gym is more about sanity than vanity. And I get it. You know, to some people it might not be, but I get it. Like, this, it's more about just getting that routine. It's feeling your body move. Like, when's the last time you sprinted 100%? Like, the fastest you could ever... Like, it wasn't since you were a child, you know? And I think what we talked about last episode about trying to bring back recess.
Yeah.
And bring back like these child, like when your body was something you were discovering the limits of.
Yeah.
I feel like that is what fitness should be. Like you find your limits and live within them. And if you want to push them, push them. But it's always better to know that Socrates quote, you know, that is, to every man has to, what, I forget the exact quote.
Like every man knows. Owes it to himself to find out the limits of his physicality or something like that.
Yeah, that like even the smartest, the quote unquote smartest man in the world is like recognizes the human body is not just the vessel of meat, but as part of a machine that you can keep running smoothly, you know?
I think you quoted a great philosopher, Socrates. I'd like to quote the equally great philosopher, L. Woods, who said, people who exercise have serotonin, and people who have serotonin don't kill their husbands.
I mean, it's fact. It's pure science. It's she's a legal professional from Harvard. She knows what she's talking about.
It's not hard. it's a you like you said, you do find out the limits of what you're capable of. You find out your plateau level, if you want to call it that. But what you know, call it plateau level, it's the best you can do. This is the best I can do with what I have. And if you want to take some supplements to get you beyond that, that's another thing. But it also is the thing of, you know, there's a thing called the runner's high. There is the emotional release. You know, if you have some frustration, you want to take it out on a boxing bag or whatever it is.
Yeah. I can't speak in the martial arts side of things. I never really was drawn to the combat side of things. I really just liked the weapons and training and hitting the bag. And I just like feeling my body mechanics like line up properly. Like knowing how to throw a kick felt very cool. Doing like at one point I did some capoeira classes, and knowing how to do like a big spinning wheel kick at a guy my size was, I was like, oh, that's, I could see how devastating that is. But part of me is also like, I don't want to hurt nobody. You know, like it's interesting how much of it, like your brain determines, again, it's all connected. And that's kind of what we're talking about on the show. Like,
you just remind me of a weird fact about when I would watch the Rocky movies when I was a kid or a teenager or whatever, is sometimes I would watch it up until the training montage and then stop. I was like, I don't care about him fighting in the ring. I want to see this training montage. Honestly, I want to see him going up a mountain in the snow with a yoke around his neck.
That's not the ultimate like foreshadowing of your life. You're like, I don't care about winning. I just want to see how he got so strong.
Yeah.
What is the strength training regimen?
Like, I want chasing... to be a Ninja Turtle, but I don't want to like cut people in half with swords. Like,
yes. I was when martial arts was all about the training for me at the time, but football was not. I feel like there is like a little bit of guilt in me over like how much hitting of other people, like it's part of the game. I'm not trying to be a little girly, you know, pussy about it or whatever. I don't know, girly is not even the right word, but I'm not trying to like make it seem like football's bad. I loved it. I fucking loved it. And there's something about using your physicality in like what is simulated combat, like because it's not real. I'm not trying to kill anybody, but you are trying to push someone out of the way.
I just, you know, I don't want to kill him. I just want to make him grunt.
If anything, I'm the one that turned out flim flam ram ram. If anything, like I was an offensive lineman and defensive lineman, and I was also on special teams. Like I did all the hard hitting positions that were every time, but not high speed. I was not running like 20 miles an hour and smashing into another guy running 20 miles an hour. There's a 300-pound guy in front of me. I'm 300 pounds, and I'm going to hit the fuck out of that guy every time. That was my thing. And I will tell you, there was a high you got from doing it right. There was a high you got from using your body mechanics, because if we're both equally strong, there's something I did skill-wise that was able to get me. So it was like a combination of physicality and intelligence to be able to like put it all together. There's a high to even when I was doing the we used to do tackling drills on the sled. You hit the sled and then you would come back. You come back, you hit the next one. You know the sled that you drive.
Yeah.
And that was one of our drills. I love that thing. I would try to flip the sled. I would get it like to try and like power, you know, like to clean and I would lift that thing up as high as I knocked the coach off one time and I was like, ah! You know, like you get to Hulk out in like a way that doesn't hurt anyone. In a way that like you're using your body to 100% of what you feel you're capable of. That is a rare thing in an ordinary adult life if you're not taking fitness into account. Like the average Joe does not get to do anything with their body at 100%, period. Like
I watched this guy, Dr. Mike Israetel from the Renaissance Periodization Channel. and he always critiques like celebrity workouts, some of his videos are. And whenever somebody, a celebrity, is pushing a sled, he says, you know what pushing a sled makes you really good at? Pushing a sled.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're a football player, you don't, you know, you're not going to be using this in everyday life. There are better exercises to use. But like you said, if you're a football player and your job is to put as much brunt force as you can into the guy in front of you, sled pushing is great for training.
Yeah. Don't you dare talk shit about my sleds. I will come over there and I will tackle you aggressively. Put some pads on. Let's see. No. I love, you know, but that's the thing of like also having your exercises match a goal, like a goal. Like for most people, their goal is to look as good as they can, or what in their mind matches. Like I saw an interview that Arnold Schwarzenegger did with the Kelsey brothers on their podcast. And he talked about when he got started, he was lucky enough to be a part of a powerlifting club, who then when you were done with all your powerlifting exercises, you could then go do the bodybuilding exercises. And if that's not the perfect example of form following function, where it's like you build the major core muscles of strength, and then you fine tune with really specific exercises. So like, it's, you know, yeah, pushing a sled, it makes you really good at pushing a sled, but your hamstrings are going to be, your quads are going to be gigantic.
Yeah.
And your quads and your hips will also have all of the support structure that it uses for, that you use for like a lunge or split squat or one leg at a time kind of isolated exercise. And then you can go and pick out the highlighted muscles you want. So it serves a purpose in the sense of like anything you do to build a muscle serves a purpose.
Yeah.
If you start with strength as your foundation, I think that's kind of where we both agree. Like strength is an important, like.
It's also like, you know, the idea of like efficiency, you know, when you choose a workout program, you choose which is the most efficient exercise to get the goal that you want. But that's like, if you're going like super extreme, like a professional IFBB, going to be on stage in a onesie thing. Because the other thing you need to take into account is, are you going to do the exercise? Are you going to have fun doing that exercise? Because like you said, one of the best hamstring exercises is the seated leg curl and, you know, seated hamstring curl. And but it's not a fun exercise.
No, it is but so boring.
If you get more joy from pushing a sled, even though that's not a applicable skill to your daily life, but if you enjoy doing that, do that one instead.
Your heart, you build up your heart rate. You're going to start burning calories. Your metabolic endurance goes up. Like, it, sure, fine. And then maybe one day that, like, it's like your hero fantasy. So, we need to push this dumpster off this poor, you know, this poor old lady. You're like, oh, my time to shine. And then you push. And every bit of that sled pushing comes into play, and then you will be on the news as a hero. I mean, like, who doesn't think about this every minute of the day? Is it just me? Every sled push, I'm like, yes, finally.
It's like that line from Batman Begins when Bruce Wayne is trapped underneath the burning log and he can't get it off him. And Alfred is like, what are all those push-ups for?
That is one of my favorite lines in all of cinema. All those push-ups for nothing. And he's like, he's like, damn, read to filth by Alfred. Like, oh boy. This hurt more than any of the physical training, the emotional scars.
Like the Joker's in the corner, like, damn, he got you, bro.
Got him. Can we talk about, you said you wanted to talk about, speaking of sled pushing and specific exercises, girly exercises that, like, we feel like you, like, people get judged for doing, like, if you're caught on video doing.
Oh yeah.
Like, there was a guy that was doing like some sort of like the leg the spread.
So abduction is the, with the B is for your butt.
Yes.
That's the one that spreads out like that. Abduction is the one where you start out here and you close it together with resistance. And that's for like your inner thighs.
Inner thigh.
Yeah.
And people were so quick to question that man's sexuality in the comments. They were just so aggressively questioned. It's like, hey, maybe that I have neck injuries. I have herniated discs. Some of the exercises I do have to be done differently in the gym. I had a guy come up to me and be like, oh, what's that exercise for? And I'm like, recovering from an injury. And I wanted to call him a bunch of names, but he's like, oh no, I have a neck injury. So I have to do some stabilization, some things to make my neck stronger for stabilization. And the guys, and because the guy had like this kind of smug look on his face and then was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah. What are you trying to suck a dick?
Yeah. I got to build up my neck game.
Yeah. I think the abduction is probably the number one that gets all the hate on. Like I've seen like, you know, YouTube videos back in the day of like, these are the exercises dude shouldn't do. Like I had back to back within a period of a year and a half, I had my right knee was the MCL, had a stage 2 tear. And then after that, my left knee had, no, it was my left knee had the MCL. My right knee was the LCL, which is the like weird one in the front. And that was lateral, stage 1. And then right after that, because of all the knee stuff, I ended up developing like really bad sciatica. Where it was like, so over a period of like a year and a half, 2 years, it was like leg training was like non-existent because you can't bend your knees to do that. So I ended up hopping on the abductor and the adductor machines to do all my leg exercises since I couldn't do any sort of extension. And it was that like, oh, I don't want anybody to think I'm not man because I'm not manny manny. I need man exercises.
Man stuff, do man things. It's so crazy. Like how it is crazy how toxic that element of it is, especially because the people at the gym would probably understand, like the people who like, oh, he's clearly working on something, like, and I do think that that's where the gym bro culture versus the online gym bro commenter culture, those commenters ain't doing shit. Those are those same people that will critique a movie. It's like, have you written anything? Have you done anything? Have you created anything? No, then shut the fuck up. No, like it's the bean soup of it all. Did you ever see that meme? The bean soup. Someone posted a recipe for bean soup. And then there was someone in the comments who was like, what if I don't like beans? Hey, how about you shut the fuck up? This isn't for you. Like, I don't understand that's the one of the things about, we were talking about the online thing of like the fake internet, the engagement. Not everything requires your input.
Yeah.
You have not earned an opinion. You know what I mean? But because the comment section is free of charge and pretty much anonymous, everybody feels like their opinion is valid in some way. It's like, no, it's not. It's not. We should be able to, like, you should have to answer some fucking basic questions about what you just read before you can comment. Yeah. You know, it's like, do you like beans? No, this comment's disabled. You know what I mean? Like, it's not for you.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them like that. Like the hip thrust is probably one of the greatest glute exercises you can do. But for the longest time, it was like, that's a girl exercise because girls want to grow their butt. So, you know, only girls do that one. But it's like, if you see the motion of a hip thrust, you're fucking the air.
Yeah.
Like, bro, if you do hip thrust,
that's your move.
Better at fucking. You're going to be so good at fucking, bro. So, because you have to put the bar across your lap and do the whole, and it's like, yeah, man, that's how the body works. Like, there's so many videos that are like, here are alternatives to the hip thrust. It's like, just do the hip thrust. You don't need to change it. Or like the kickback machine, the glute kickback machine.
Yes. And
it's like, well, the only time I see people using that machine, they're always girls. It's like, well, they're the girls that have the butts. So if you want a butt, do that machine too.
You know what else those girls could probably do? Be more agile than you, because that's literally where all of your agility comes from, your quads and your glutes.
Yeah.
Your ability to, and your ankle strength and your, you know, like from your butt down, that is literally where every bit of power and strength in a normal person comes from. You want to know why there's like football players, they all have big asses. They all have gigantic muscles under there. And it's like, you have to work them out in a way that gets that. And also, like, are you that unsure of your sexuality that you couldn't thrust your hips into the air without, you're like, oh, this is gay. Why? What is it? What about it? It's gay. What are you talking about? That's you connecting something in your brain that isn't really connected. You're just worried about being gay, and that says more about you than the exercise.
One of the things they found with elderly people who are immobile is the hips and the, you know, their hips break, or the hips that, you know, elderly people fall down, it's like they bust their hip, and then that can lead to all sorts of, could kill you eventually. So it's like, you know, are you really so homophobic that you don't want to do a cable pull through, even though it's going to save your life?
Yeah.
You would rather potentially die or not be able to walk when you're 65 rather than, you know, do some Bulgarian split squats.
The idea of what is a threat to your sexuality is a mirror. You know what I mean? Like, you're seeing, like, that's when, like, someone says something like, oh, this is, it reminds me a lot of, like, when hyper-religious people point something out and they're like, that's the devil. And they'd be like, what? What do you mean that's the devil? How is that the devil? That's a flower or whatever. It's like, oh, that's a symbol. They used to use it in pagan rituals and blah, 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 blah. What the fuck are you talking about? And it's like, yeah, the Christmas tree represents the cross that Jesus was crucified on, and it's part of the Saturnalia festival, and that's a pagan ritual, and that's the devil. And you're like, why are you, who cares? What are you talking about? That's, you know, like, when people have such vehement opinions about something that is so insignificant, I always kind of chuckle a little bit, because it's like, everything in the healthcare industry is to prolong life, whether for better or worse, right?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes quality of life gets thrown out the window and you keep somebody alive when they shouldn't be alive. But most people, like, falling and balance, and people like with who, flexibility is something that I don't think we talk enough about on, we haven't talked as much as we should on this podcast, but flexibility is also one of those things. Strength and range of motion is super important, because I don't care if you can't bring your legs like this, you can't react to certain external forces where you might slip, you might, you know, whatever. And falling and breaking a hip, first of all, bones bleed. People forget that. Bones bleed more than veins do. And
that's a great emo song title, by the way.
Hold on, I got it. Bones bleed more than veins do. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. A fall in a senior citizen or an elderly person, a geriatric person, is one of the things that you're on the lookout for the most in the hospital.
Yeah.
To the point where they have teams of people that are just there to respond to that sort of thing. And it marks a very clear point in someone's life when they move from being self-sufficient to not being self-sufficient, because most people at that age do not fully recover from hip injuries.
Yeah.
It is a dangerous thing to... It is one of those things that if everybody worked on when they were young, it would drastically improve when they were old.
Yeah.
And because people are so short-sighted, or they are afraid to look gay or girly or whatever, and they don't do the proper exercises that could help them in the future. Like, oh, I got to stretch my hamstring when I'm bend over in front of you.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, stretch your posterior chain, please. It increases range of motion.
I don't want to do RDLs, because then my bussy is going to be exposed. It's like, expose your bussy, bro.
Expose your bussy, bro. The ideas.
If you want to live longer, expose your bussy.
And we're going to mark that. And that's going to get saved and part of our promotion. I think we've kind of crushed this episode. I think we nailed it. Thank you everybody for watching. We're watching Just Trying to Look Like You. We always finish. We want to talk about body, mind, and community. What are the things that we have focused on that you want us to take away from this episode to go into the week with this in our minds, and we can take with us and apply and put into action? Ideas, the great Herm Edwards, a goal without a plan is a wish.
So I think a great way to combine all three aspects is to do things that bring you joy, eat food that brings you joy, preferably healthy food that brings you joy, but also unhealthy food that brings you joy. with people who bring you joy, and do exercises that bring you joy. Even if it exposes your bussy.
Even if it exposes that sweet, sweet bussy. The idea of chasing joy feels so foreign in the modern world that it is like viewed as almost like selfish. It's viewed as almost like negative. Like, it's like, oh, your only goal is to be happy. What about profit gains for this corporate? Shut the fuck. I don't care. I do not care. I want to live a happy life. You made it so I can't buy a house. Guess what? That money's getting spent on a PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
That money's getting spent on a lovely steak dinner with my wife. That money is getting spent on a bucket of ice cream that I'm going to eat and enjoy. That money's going to get spent on the toys I couldn't afford as a kid. You know what I mean? Like that, like you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't subscribe to your chasing your goals of being a good worker. I'm sorry.
You know what? You just solidified something. Instead of spending all that money on a Roth IRA, I'm going to buy Anduril, the Sword of the West, the sword that was reforged, and I'm going to hang it on the wall.
I'll tell you this. Why don't we combine two things? We can start doing HEMA together, historical European martial arts, and we can start learning to fight with these fucking swords.
When I tell you that I Googled sword classes NYC the other day...
Yes! Yes! Let's do it. I want to fight with swords! At some point, we're just going to end up buying armor. And who gives a shit? It's like, why can't you buy a house? Well, I'll see this. You see this plate armor I'm wearing?
Oh, I'll have you know this cuirass was...
Dog, let's just buy armor, man. Let's go join the HEMA community.
It's going to be like you were talking about before, where it's like we have all this armor and these swords, and we get together, and it's like, are you guys going to fight each other? No. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to look like I'm going to hurt somebody.
It's like, no, I just want to... If you ever pulled a sword out of a sheath and it goes, shing!
Oh.
That's what I've been craving that for 40 years. Ever since I saw Highlander. I want to make a sword go shing.
If you had a group of 500 guys all in a room and one of them had a sword and he pulls it out and goes shing, I guarantee you all 500 would go, nice.
Nice. Hell yeah. Okay, we've hit it.
What about you? What's your plans for the week?
I need to refocus on my diet. I think that's the major focus. But you know what that means? That means I'm gonna cook food that I enjoy. I enjoy the diet, the protein heavy, carb free. But I'm going to mentally, so the body will consume the good food. Mentally, I will prepare for a bit of joy, like a little holiday on my next cheat day, where my wife and I can go have some fun and do some, you know, we plan an outing like we did at the Getty with a meal that we're both going to enjoy. I think that that's a way to combine. Fitness will be included in there in terms of exercises and things like that, but my focus right now, I believe, is for my body is to fuel it efficiently. And that's kind of the thing. Because I do enjoy who doesn't enjoy, if you know how to cook, diet food is just good food. Like, it just still tastes good. I get so sad when I see these boiled chickens with no seasoning on it. I'm like, guys, just put, you don't, like, they don't have calories. Like, minimal seasoning.
Seasoning, hot sauce. I mean, I put hot sauce on everything. It's
yellow mustard has no calories. You know, throw some mustard on shit. You know, like, don't eat boiled chicken. Like, relax, guys. Relax. We're fine. You can eat seasonings.
So next week you're going to go to a museum and then eat stuffed crust pizza? Is that what I'm getting?
Did you know that we have stuffed crust pizza because at some
point... Government cheese!
Government cheese! All right, enough of these conspiracy theories. Will, I love you. Thank you for joining me this week. Thank you for helping me get my mind right, helping me get my body right, and helping me go out into the world with a right-minded body.
Hey, man, you inspire me. I'll inspire you right back.
I appreciate you. Thank you, everybody. If you're listening, you can join us. You see this little thing here, @ZeroesOnHeroes. Go follow that. I'm at Mike Mercadal. Will is at William A. Watkins, which is going to be in the text somewhere around here. And if wherever social media platform you're seeing this on, subscribe. Check it out. Go to where we're dropping these episodes for the audio listeners as well. So you can go find us on anywhere podcasts are listed in terms of audio stuff. Either way, we thank you for joining us. We love you all. You know, unless you're a bad person, but we love you and want you to change your ways. Please come to us to help join the vibes of improving your body, improving your mind, and improving your community. Hey, Will, looking good?
Hey, I'm just trying to look like you, bro.
Just trying to look like you, bro. Thank you all for watching, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.